Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice. So today we are so excited to have a program director in pediatrics. So thanks so much for joining us, Dr. White.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So where are you an attending physician and what is your position?
I am a physician at Washington University in St. Louis at the St. Louis Children's Hospital. And I am the current pediatrics program director, a position I've held for about 20 years.
Wow, it's so great to hear that you've had that position for so long. So you have lots of expertise and experience to share with us today.
Well, I hope so. We shall see.
So we like to start our podcast with some rapid fire questions to get to know you a little bit better. So were you AOA when you applied to residency?
I was not AOA in medical school. I was later inducted as a faculty member, which some of you guys may not know is an option, but you can still get in as a resident, as a fellow, and as a faculty member. So, but not as a medical student, I was not.
Were you gold humanism?
I was not gold either.
And do you have any funny interview stories from your own trail or any deficiencies in your residency application that you could share with us?
Yeah, I've got a few that were that still rattle around in my head, decades later. I think one of the most, it was a little disheartening to me. In fact, it became comical during the interview. One of the faculty members who was interviewing me, he actually happened to be the chairman of pediatrics, basically disagreed with every one of my answers, no matter what it was. You know, how is the weather in Texas? I hear it's hot. And I would say, well, it's not so bad. And he'd say, yes, I've been there many times. It's miserable. It's like, do you find that being a pediatrician is, dealing with, anyway, whatever I said, he would counteract. And so by the end, I was convinced. It just became comical. But I guess in retrospect, he wanted to see how I did under pressure. So that was one story. And I was actually, that was the program I matched into. So I guess it worked. And then another story, I was interviewing with a faculty member who, she was retired. So she had been around for a while. And she saw on my application that I was in a rock and roll band in Boston during college. And she asked me if I knew of the band, the Del Fuegos. And I said, yes, I had heard of them because my band had opened up for the Del Fuegos. And then she asked me who the lead singer was and the guitarist.
Ooh,
if I yikes. Knew his name. And I was surprised by this, but luckily I wasn't making it up. I did know the Del Fuegos. His name was Dan Zanes. And I said, why do you ask? She said, he's my grandson. And so then the entire conversation got sidetracked in the interview into a discussion of rock and roll.
Well, that shows really cool things about you and your interests and your hobbies, but also that on the interview trail, you have to be honest because you never know what question's going to come next.
That is correct.
So in pediatrics, I'm curious what makes a competitive applicant. You get so many applications throughout the season that you are sifting through. And what are you looking for in that ideal applicant for your program?
Yes, this is an excellent question. And it's pretty straightforward and easy to answer. Clearly, we all look for people who do well in school and who are smart. That's kind of a bit of a baseline. But in pediatrics, the skill that supersedes that is you have to be good with people, in particular, good with people of different ages. And so we look for evidence in the application that you have some skill, either communicating or interacting with children. And that can be sometimes hard to reflect in an application.
And, sometimes within an application, there can be some components that are more challenging than others, but also give you an opportunity to tell yourself, tell, the applicant, the program director about you as an applicant. And I'm curious if you have any recommendations for the personal statement, which is a wonderful opportunity for people to share their own experiences within the field of pediatrics.
You know, personal statements, of course, should be personal. So they should be a little bit about you as an applicant. And the ones that work pretty well come across as either demonstrating some native ability or inborn ability to enjoy being with children, or to rather have the children enjoy being with you, whether it's camp counselor. But it's not just a story about, yeah, I was a camp counselor. It's a story that occurred at camp that showed the children came to you, like something along those lines. Another common one that works pretty well is talking about, you know, talking shop, telling about an interaction with a patient in a particular disease, somewhere on the, you know, on the wards, and how you might have been able to navigate a scenario that other people couldn't. Whether it's getting a, you know, getting the child to share a piece of history with you that they didn't tell somebody else, something along those lines, that comes across very favorably.
And you read so many personal statements. So are there any topics that seem to be a little bit cliche that we should avoid writing about?
You know, I think in pediatrics, a lot of people try hard to, try too hard maybe to show that they are good with kids. I know I just said that should happen, but don't try too hard. I remember one personal statement that immediately turned me off, and it started with a line, something along the lines of, I knew growing up, I either wanted to be a pediatrician or I wanted to be the Easter Bunny. And, and I thought, all right, that's just too much, too cutesy, right? So you know, keep it a little more serious, a little more medical, and less. You want to avoid sounding too cutesy, I think.
That's really helpful. And you know, a lot of the times we wonder if there are ways that we can show interest in a program. Some people mention that we can personalize that personal statement and add in material about the specific program that we're applying to. And I'm curious if that's a technique that you would recommend, or if there are other ways that we can show that we're really excited about applying to a certain place.
Yes, there certainly are ways. The first thing about a personalized personal statement, to me, that seems like a lot of work on the part of the applicant, because I assume, like most places or most people, you guys will be applying to lots of programs, and to adjust the personal statement for the 10 or 12 programs you're applying to sounds like a lot of work. So I don't wish that on anybody. However, when I do get one that's addressed to specifically to our program and or our city, or it does probably subconsciously register in my brain that this person is putting a little more time and effort into their intention to express their desire to come here. So it probably does work, but I don't think it's necessary, honestly. Other ways of showing interest in the program, of course, first apply to the program. That's probably the most important thing you have to do. But a simple email with a simple reason is probably means more to me than just about anything else. In other words, something like, "Dear Dr. White, I just want to let you know I am definitely interested in the pediatrics program in St. Louis because my significant other is a medical student there already, because my grandmother lives in town," and there's needs to be a sort of a logical reason to it. For me to, I guess, believe that your interest in the program is more than just what everybody else is saying, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And it really shows a lot of interest when you're able to write that personalized email and include details about that specific city or about a relationship that you have ongoing, whether or not you're applying through the couples match, or whether or not your significant other needs a job or has a job in that specific city you're applying.
That's right. I couples matched myself back in a time where it was a little more difficult probably. And a lot of questions I did get, or we both got, were about our relationship rather than anything else, because we were not engaged. We were not married. We were just couples matching as boyfriend and girlfriend. And that seemed to cause some consternation in places, but it was a reasonable answer. It was a reasonable motivation in our, you know, in our minds to want to be in the same place together.
And speaking about the interview and questions that people get asked on the trail, I'm curious what a typical pediatrics residency interview looks like. We know that most interviews have the virtual dinner the night before or one that's in person. And then we have that interview day. And what does that typically entail in the world of pediatrics?
Right. So one of our rate limiting steps for pediatric interviews is that we try to get to know you pretty well, but we also have a lot of candidates come through. So it means that our days are pretty busy. They normally start with a residence report, or either virtual or in person. So you get to see a little bit about what the morning teaching is like in the hospital. And then usually there's a group session with the applicants and the program director, about eight applicants together with the program director for about an hour. Often after that, there's a separate meeting for about 45 minutes with the applicants and the chief residents. The way I like to explain it is that the chiefs can clarify and clear up any confusion that the program director might have created in the 1 hour session. After that, we have interviews, and most of the interviews are pretty short. We just sort of are trying to get your personality across to make sure you do have those social skills that are important in pediatrics. And then there's a lunch and a conference followed by a tour. And then the day is done.
Well, that sounds like a busy day. And it could also be a stressful day for a lot of people when we think about all of these interviews that we have to prepare for. So I'm curious if you have any tips for applicants that might be more nervous about the interview and ways that they can prepare beforehand.
Right. Well, the tip, I think, probably the most important thing is to remember that we are all pediatricians at every place you're applying, and therefore we are mostly warm, friendly, fuzzy people who will not be asking difficult questions and really just want to get to know you better. So we're not going to ask you the branches of the carotid artery. We're not going to ask you the borders of the anterior triangle. We want to hear you talk. And therefore, I think there's nothing really you can prepare. There's nothing you could do from that sense to prepare for the interview except be yourself. It is useful, though, to read up about the place in the program. You know, find out what our hospital is like. Find out what our patients are like. Find out how many doctors we have. So that you can sound informed about the place and the program and ask clever, insightful questions rather than, do you guys have an asthma ward? That's something you could have looked up online. Do you guys have a pediatric neurosurgeon? Also something you could have looked up. So doing a little bit of due diligence, doing some homework, getting to know the place ahead of time is important.
And one awesome way to also look up information is by going to the social media page. And by glancing at the WashU Pediatrics page, you can see that there's lots of activities ongoing that may not be even promoted on the website.
That's correct. And don't limit yourself also, you know, don't limit yourself to the regular pediatrics pages about that institution. Find, you know, also track down their subspecialty program pages and some of their hospital pages and their university pages so that you can get a sense for what's happening. Because you might end up with me as your program director, and I am not very good with social media. So I can go weeks before I post something on Twitter or Instagram. And so get a sense for you can all get a sense for the place by branching out a little bit and seeing what else is out there. I will talk up our pediatric hematology oncology fellowship program's Instagram page. I think they do an excellent job.
So there are multiple aspects of the ERAS application, whether it be the research aspect, the work experiences, the volunteer section, or even the hobbies. And you mentioned that in a pediatrics interview, it's all about getting to know the applicant in a very warm and friendly environment. But I'm curious if there's aspects of the ERAS that you feel like are really important to focus on that might be asked about more frequently in a pediatrics interview.
Yeah, it's a good question. I also think that by the time you're working on your applications now, you have already done everything you can to enhance your application. So now it's just writing about it and selling it a little bit. You can't go back 2 years and volunteer now. So the things that you have already done, you just need to represent on paper well. And some tips and tricks to that would probably be to, in the CV section, to have a little bit more verbiage about every section to sort of tell us what you were really doing. I'm also on the medical school admissions committee, and I think the medical students in general do a better job elaborating on their experiences compared to residency program applicants. So focus on that a little bit more.
That's a great suggestion and something that we really need to think about when putting our application together. And you have seen over 20 years of applications, and it sounds like with the medical school applications, you've seen quite a bunch of applications through all of the years. And I'm curious what the biggest pitfalls are in applications that you see come through your pediatrics programs so that we can try to avoid some of those when putting ours together this year.
Yeah, that's a good question. The pitfalls usually in the application are that you don't know your own application very well. I have asked people about things in their application, and I'm, staring at it on my desktop or on the computer, and I'll say, so tell me a little bit about this time you volunteered at the zoo. And they'll say things like, I didn't volunteer at the zoo. You have me compared to somebody else. I'm like, well, I don't think I do. I've got the application right here. So know your own application. I think that's number one. Number two, be careful about how you speak with other people on your interview day. So the program coordinators, the chief residents, other people you interact with, whether it's in person or on Zoom in the breakout rooms or in between the breakout sessions. I hear every day if somebody was rude or falling asleep or not paying attention or even picking their nose. I've been told about that. So be careful what you're doing. And then the other thing I would say is a bit of a pitfall is the thank you cards or the thank you emails afterwards. If you call me Dr. Williams instead of Dr. White, if you get the name of my program wrong, these are mistakes that I envision as you writing the wrong prescription medication for a patient. If you can't keep your thank you card straight, be careful of typos. Be careful of both over and under committing or selling yourself on the thank you cards. I think far too often people hurt themselves with the cards rather than help themselves.
Yeah, no, that is great feedback, especially when we want to showcase our interest and recognize that people realize when something sounds generic, when we're edit copying and pasting into the same sort of email for every single person. Those mistakes are not great ones to make.
Agreed.
So a lot of the times we are so excited about our field, but we may have some difficulty finding mentors. And so I'm really curious if you have any tips for us in connecting with mentors in pediatrics or even trying to find research opportunities if that's something we're really excited about.
Yeah, mentors are everywhere. There are sometimes mentors who don't know they are mentoring you. They just have an influence upon you one way or another. And so I think, my advice here is to once again remember that pediatricians are friendly, approachable people, and no one will say when you talk to them, stop talking to me. I don't want to hear from, you know, leave me alone. They will say, oh, you're interested in pediatric stuff? That's fascinating. Why don't we go get a cup of coffee, or let me buy you a sandwich? And generally, that is the normal response from faculty members or even fellows or even residents, any type of mentor. So just make the, you know, make the approach, talk to people. A simple email also works, but it's pretty easy also to just delete an email. So I think a phone call, running into somebody, setting up an appointment just to talk, and nobody will say no. And if they do, just go to the next person. Most of us are perfectly willing to meet anytime.
Well, you've shared with us so many awesome tips to get us ready for the journey into applying to pediatrics. And I'm curious if you have anything else that you'd like to offer about the application or the residency interview process.
Well, it's a, you know, I think, like I said earlier, the most of the work on your application has already been done by all of your hard work in medical school. And so that's great. I think your, you know, the MSPE letter, this sort of the Dean of Students letter that summarizes everything about you is very important. And sometimes that's the first place I go to look at the application. And so maybe collaborating with your Dean of Students on working on that letter is important. The interview and the application, you know, just be prepared. I've had people who looked me up online and found that I am a tropical fish enthusiast. And they, when they interviewed with me, I had a fish tank in my office, and they walked in and they looked at my fish tank and they said, oh, you have Pseudotrophius demasoni. Those are a great fish. And I thought, okay, that's a lot of homework, maybe more than I would expect. How did you know that? But, you know, people, there's a lot out on the internet. There's a lot out on social media. You can learn about the faculty, the program director, and the applicants, the programs, as well as current residents, much better than we could in the old days. So the power is in your hands to be able to sift through places and programs so that you can get, you know, honestly, the place you will be best suited for and will be happiest.
Well, you made this last question a little bit harder on yourself, because you've already told us two cool things about you. One, that you are in a band, and then two, that you are a tropical fish enthusiast. So we got one last thing to share. We would like to ask you if you can share a fun fact about yourself.
Oh boy, fun fact about myself. Okay. I play basketball, and I run a basketball league for the residents and fellows and faculty and medical students at our institution. I've been doing that since 1994, I think, every Friday night, and I keep doing that, still doing it to this day. So I guess I would say I'm a basketball addict. Is your fun fact.
So cool. What a neat way to bring residents together, especially on a Friday night. So
can I tell you one funny story about that?
Oh, well, definitely.
One year, a medical student was out playing with us, and I had the ball at the top of the key, and he swatted at that ball so hard to knock out of my hands, but I moved the ball, and he smacked me right across the face. I have never seen such a panicking medical student after that, because he really wanted to, you know, to come here with pediatrics, and he apologized for it. It must have been 3 months after that, nonstop.
Wow, what a story. Well, that's all the time we have today with Dr. White. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McCloyd for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome leader in medical education.